Today's Shir Masech Rav Metzia Davav, and we will begin right on top on Davav Amen Aleph. Elah Hodom Rav Nachman. We had learned in the previous year, the Gemara had spoken about the concept of Migad Choshe Memoinai Choshe Reshevosai. If somebody we are concerned is not honest and would take something that doesn't belong to him, do we have to be concerned that I'll make a false shvuah or not? So now the Gemara questions, how could somebody say, Miga de Choshe Amemoina, Choshe Rashvuasa, that somebody, if he's not honest, may take something that doesn't belong to him? We also have to be concerned that he's going to make a false shvuah. Ask the Gemara, Hadam Rav Nachman. We learned as recently as yesterday. The Rav Nachman teaches us that Chazal were misakin, mashbina isoy shvuas hesis, which we explained in the previous year. The Rabbanon established that if I approach you and I say to you, you owe me money, sumidaraisa, the only time you have to make a shvua is in a situation of moed b'miksus, which is a partial admission. If there was a kaifer akol, you completely deny owing me any money, you would not have to make a shvua. Chazal instituted a shvuas hesis, that you have to make a shvuah even when you're a kaifer akol. Now the question is, if you're choshed amemoina, if we're concerned that you're going to say you don't owe money, when you actually do owe money, so why should we allow you to swear? Isn't that clearly a red flag that you're also going to swear falsely? So ask Tysus, didn't we learn at the end of the previous year that there's a concept and there's a approach that people owe money, but sometimes they don't have the money to pay back, and they're just looking to buy time. So that's why perhaps by shvuas hesis we allow the person to make a shvuah, because there's a good understanding, there's a good excuse why he made the denial. That has really nothing to do with migad choshev amoina choshev shvuas. And some rishonim, because of the question of Tosfos, indeed say that the real question, the basic question the Gemara is going to ask, is from the next case where you don't have that situation. Other Rishonim say that the case here is referring to a situation where we approach you and say, you have my object, you have my item, and you say, I don't have it. And we know, we have Adam, that as you were saying it to me, that you don't have my item, that you did have it. So we see Yechosh and Mamayna. So how can we tell you to swear? Furthermore, ask the Gemara. Again, Bela Hodom Ram Nachman. Meshbina Shashvus Hesses, why do we allow the person who denies owing me any money to make a Shvus Hesses? Why should we not say, Miga de Chosh and Mamayna, Chosh and Shvus? Vesu, furthermore. Hodotan Reb Chia, we quoted Reb Chia's din, that Shneim Nishboim Noitim Mebal Abayis. The case, as we discussed at the beginning of the perek, was in a situation where I had people working for me. And I went to the chenveni, I went to the shopkeeper, and I told him, could you please lay out the money to pay my workers, and I'll pay you back. And now both the chenveni comes to me and says to me, I laid out the money, pay me back. And the workers claim that they never got paid, we deserve our salary. And the halacha, as we discussed, Machloikis, Tachamim Bananas, but at least according to the Tanakhama, according to the opinion of the Chachamim Mesach Teshvuas, Dafmem Zayin, is that both the Chenveni and the workers swear, Chenveni swears that he laid out the money, the workers swear that they didn't receive their salary, and I have to pay them both. Now here we clearly have a situation, and this is what the Mefarshim explained to Gemara, that one of these two are lying. Either the chenveni is lying or the workers are lying. Yeah, so it's not just choshed amemoina. It's a lot more than choshed amemoina. And yet, the Mishnah, at least according to the Tanakhama, says they should swear. But if we have a concept of miga de choshed amemoina, choshed ashwasa, how can we allow them to swear? The Tanakh Chia, Shneim Nishboim, Vinoitim Abalabayas, both the chenveni and the workers swear. And I have to pay them both. Certainly here we ought to say, Miga de Choshev Amoina, one of them is certainly lying, so certainly Choshev Ashvoa, so we shouldn't be able to trust them. V'su, a third situation. Hadam Rav Sheshes. We learned this Gemara in the end of Masech Babakam, Daf Kuf Zayin, Amid Beis. The Gemara says as follows. As we know, a Shoy Mechinam is potter on Geneva Vaveda, and certainly on Oynes. So if I left an article by a Shoy Mechinam, and I come to him and I say, please give me back what you owe me, and he says that it was stolen, or he says that there was an Oynes, so we learned that the Gemara says, Shalosh Shvuos Mashbin Oysai. The Shoy Mechinam has to make three Shvuos. One is Shvuos Shloi Pshatiba. One is that he wasn't negligent with this item, because Pesheya, Pshia, even a Shoy Mechinam is Chayef. Shvuos Shloi Shlachti Bayad, that he didn't misappropriate it, because the Aloch is that once he misappropriates it, it becomes his. And he's Chayef even if there was an Oynes, and certainly Geneva Vaveda, and Shvua Shein Bershusi. He Shvua that it's not anymore my property. Why? Because my possession. Because we have to be concerned that the Shomer maybe liked what he saw and decided to keep it for himself. So again, ask the Gemara, why are we not concerned? Neima Miga the Choshera Memoina Choshera Shvuasa. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question. If we're concerned that this Shomechinim was holding somebody else's item, and say, you know, I like this. I want to keep it. And we have to be concerned that that's what he's thinking. So how can we make him a how can we tell him to make a shvuah? He's a dishonest person. He takes something that doesn't belong to him. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara's question. Taisa says the Gemara's question is from the shvuah shloi shakti b'yad. If we're concerned that this shliach misappropriated and kept something started using something that he wasn't allowed to, because it's not his, so how can we trust the Shavuos? Again, ask the Gemara, Neima, Miga de Choshe Memoino, Choshe de Shavuosa. Ella, says the Gemara, from all of these questions that we've begun our shiur with today, it's obvious the Loya meaning Miga de Choshe Memoino, Choshe de Shavuosa. We don't have to be concerned about that. Abaya Aima, Abaya says a whole different reasoning. We go back to the Mishnah. In other words, we learned the Mishnah, began the Masechta. Shnayim Oichsim a Talis, two people are holding a Talis, and both of them say that the whole Talis belongs to them. Each one says it's a Metziah. So the Mishnah paskind, they should make a Shvua v'yachloiku. And the question is, if we don't trust them, we think that they're lying, why are they making Shvuas? So the Gemara said, till now, we're not, Rabbi Yochanan said, it's a special takana. Shlei kol echad ve'echad, the Gemara already said this on Daf Gimel and Aleph, shlei kol echad ve'echad, hoylich v'toykev talesa shechaveri. We don't want, there should be a free-for-all, that everybody should start grabbing away everybody else's talis. By telling them they would have to make such a shvua, we prevent this kind of anarchy. Abai says that there's a different reason. Abai says he's concerned, chashinen, shem emelvi yishana yesh le'alav. What Abai is concerned is as follows. You owe me money, and I can't collect. It happens. I can't collect. So what do? I go and I grab one of your items, and I justify what I did, because you're not paying me what you owe me. So by making the shvua, I'm going to have to come clean, as the Gemara is going to explain. Abaya Amar Chashinin, Shem Milvi Yishan HaLaslov, that we're concerned that you owe me money, and that's why we make the shvua. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, Rabbiya holds that Miga de Choshera Mamayna Chodesha Shvuasa. If we're concerned that you're going to take something that doesn't belong to you, you're also going to make a false shvua. Here, you're not taking something that doesn't belong to you, because in your mind, it belongs to you because you owe me the money. That's the way most Rishonim learn the Gemara. There are Rishonim that say that the machloikis of Abaya and Rabbi Yochanan is only in how we understand the shvua of the Mishnah. Why did Chazal institute that shvua? Rabbi Yochanan is saying because shelo yikolech ve'echad toikev talesa shel chaveroi, and Abaya is saying because shema milvi yishana yesh lo yalav. But certainly, they both agree that mega the chasher of a minor, just because we're afraid that he's going to take something that doesn't belong to him, loy chashir and shvuasa. They agree to that. That's approach, machlokes rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. The problem with that approach, the Mukhi Yosef raises this problem, is if they both agree, so where's the nafkamina? So the only nafkamina between Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan comes up, according, he says in the Mukhi Yosef, we follow this approach of an understanding of the Gemara, is in a case where the person clearly indicated that there is no money owed to him by the person that is holding the talus. But going back to our Gemara, just learning it simply, Abaye says, we're concerned that you owe me money, and that's why I took the item. So the Rishonim make a number of observations. One observation, one point that they raise is as follows. If this is a legitimate concern, that every time somebody takes something, we're concerned that he took it because the person owes him money, so we go back to everything we've been discussing. Let's say I take some, you, Adam C, me take something from you. Okay? So in this, in the previous year we say, if a person was observed being a Goslin, so he's apostle, he becomes apostle aid. He becomes apostle to be a Dayan. Why? According to Abaye, maybe I didn't do anything wrong. You know why I took something from you? Because you owed it to me. So the Rishonim answer, we certainly can't compare a situation where Adam saw me coming and taking something of yours and just making an excuse. Shema milva yishana yesh la'alav. Versus where Adam didn't see it. And the only time Abaye is suggesting Shema Milva Yeshana Yesh Le'alav is not when we know for sure that I took something that wasn't mine. In a case where it was observed that I took something not of mine, Abaye won't set forth Shema Milva Yeshana Yesh Le'alav. Because what is the basis? Because the truth of the matter, and this is the way that we show him explain this Gemara, is just because I have an excuse Shelva milva yeshana yesh le'olav, that you owe me money and that's why I took it, doesn't mean I'm allowed to take it. The Rishonim say, just because somebody owes me money and he's refusing to pay me, that doesn't give me a right to just go and grab something of his. In fact, I saw interesting Shaila. What would be the din? You owe me money and you're just not paying. And I go to your house and I take your esrig. And I, can I be mekayim the mitzvah with your esrig? I claim I didn't steal from you. You owe me, and this and the esrig is worth maybe even less what you owe me, so I should be able to use that esrig. Many Rishonim suggest, of course you could use that esrig. How could you use an esrig that you got improperly, even if you owe me the money? So, again, says the Gemara, Abaye Amar, Chashin Meva Shana Yesh Layof. Ask the Gemara if that's a legitimate concern, Yachin Nishka B'lo Shvua. So then I should be allowed to keep it. Ella, chashinim, sofik milvi yishani yesh le'olav. Maybe. We can't know for sure. So how will we know what truly is the case? By making a shvur. V'lav, aminin, tofus manim esfeka. So what are we concerned? Says the Gemara. Abaye says, we're concerned that maybe you owe me money. And because maybe you owe me money, I'm going to take something of yours. So just like I took something of yours because you maybe owe me money, I'll make the shvua. Mishtab nami masafik. So why will the shvua help? We're saying that we're concerned that maybe you owe me money. And that's why you took somebody else's item. So just like you felt comfortable based on this safik to take somebody else's item, you'll also feel comfortable based on that safik to make the shvua. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Shesh B'rei D'Rav Idi. Parshi inish misafik shvua, v'lo parshi anchi misafik memaina. People avoid a safik shvua, but they don't avoid a safik memaina. My tama, memaina isna b'chazara, shvua lesla b'chazara. The simple way of learning the Gemara, although that's not the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, is as follows. If somebody takes money, and then he realizes that he shouldn't have, it could be corrected, just return it. But if I make a shvua that turns out that I shouldn't have, The deed's been done. The aver has been done. And that's why people are more careful in making a shvua than they are in taking money. Tosfos goes even a step further. Tosfos explains the Gemara as follows. A person will not take somebody else's money unless he's certain that he owes the money, that the money really belongs to him. So let's say I'll take somebody else's talis because I believe you owe me money. And then I start thinking about it. You know, it's not sure. It's not that obvious. I'll return it because I don't want to hold money that's not mine. A shvur has been made, and therefore a person is going to be careful not to make a shvur unless he's certain. Says the Gemara, Bar Reb Zeira, talk for Echa B'Faneinu, which is the following scenario. The Mishnah began, Amasechta began. Shnayim Achs Metalis, there are two people holding on to a talis. And we're arguing whose talis it is. And we walk into Besdin, and in Besdin, one of them grabs the talis. Talk for Echa B'Faneinu, Mahu, what will be the din? So the Rishonim point out that the case that our Gemara, and we're going to spend a lot of time speaking about this case, is discussing, is a situation where we're in Besdin. And we walked into Besdin holding the talis together, and now one of them snatched it. What would be if it didn't happen in front of Besdin? It happened in front of Edom. Would the same question apply? Some Rishonim say, it doesn't make a difference, Edom or Besdin. The question that we're going to discuss is really identical. Other Rishonim say, no. In front of Edom, as we're going to learn, the issue is, how did I, the person who was snatched away from, react? So in front of Besdin, there's a need to react, because Besdin has the power to do something. In front of Edom, if I didn't react, there's no claim, why didn't you react? Because I figured, what could Edom do for me anyway? Other Rishonim learn just the opposite. In front of Besdin, there could be an argument made, there's no need to react. Because I say, Besdin saw everything. They'll take care of it for me. In the case where it's in front of Edom, so there I certainly have to react. Because if I won't react, the Edom won't react. And therefore, certainly, if I didn't react immediately, it'll be considered not longer mine. Again, but we'll learn the Gemara, as the Gemara says, it's in front of Besdin. Furthermore, says Rashi, the case the Gemara is discussing is before Besdin paskened that a shvur should be made. Once Besdin paskened and a shvur is made, there's no point, the snatching makes no difference. Here we're talking about that we work at the Besdin together with the case that our Masechta began, and one of them grabs it out in front of Besdin. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the case that the Gemara is referring to? Edishosik, if you grabbed it away from me and I didn't react, isn't that the clearest admission that I'm admitting it belongs to you? And the Rishonim go on to say, and since it is such a situation, that by me not reacting, it's clearly an indication that I believe it belongs to you, the halacha will be, say to Rishonim, that even if afterwards I say that it's not that way, whatever I'll say afterwards won't make a difference. Why? Because we learned earlier this week, a nice chazara. Hadas baldin kamei edim dami. And this clearly is such a situation. And when we learned the Gemara of Hadas baldin kamei edim dami, we quoted the Rishonim that say, it's even more than mei edim. And once I didn't say anything, it certainly becomes yours. On the other hand, either katzavach, if I immediately protested, my havalele mevet. So I protested. What's the question? Says the Gemara. The case that the Gemara is referring to is like tzorech deshosik mikara v'tzahadetzavach. First I was silent, and then I protested. And the question is, how do we look at this situation? My, mid deshosak, the fact that I was initially quiet, isn't that a proof, the oidya deyle, that I'm admitting that it's indeed yours? Oidilma, kivin dekatzavach hashta, now I'm protesting, Igloy milsa, the high deshosk mikara, the reason I was originally quiet, sover, I thought to myself, hakechazer le'rabbanan, since Besdin is seeing what's happening, there's no need for me to protest. The Rishonim discuss, so in other words, the Gemara's question, just to focus, is in a situation where I was initially quiet, and then I protested in front of Besdin. Now the question that the Rishonim discuss is, what does it mean that I was initially quiet and then I protested? Some Rishonim say, and if I protest 2 hours later, it's certainly not going to be considered shasak v'hadatzavach. Some Rishonim say that I have to protest before you finish grabbing it away from me. If I only decide to protest after it was completely removed from me, too little, too late. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say, as long as I protested immediately after you took it, even though you already completely have it, that's still the question that the Gemara is referring to. Amar Rav Nachman, Toshma. The Braisa that the Gemara is now going to quote is referring back to our Mishnah. It's going back to the din that our Mishnah speaks about of Shnaim Oichsim Betalus. Says the Braisa, the Medvar Amurim, when does the Mishnah say that we have Shnaim Oichsim Betalus? They both should swear v'yachloiku in a situation sheshneim adukim ba. They're both holding on to the talis. Avol hoyse talis yoytzim tachs yodish lechmen. If one of them is alone holding that talis, then that loch is hamotz mechaveru olav araya. If I want to have a claim on that talis, I have to prove my claim. Ask the Gemara, what is the Braisa saying? Hechi dami, what is the Braisa referring to? Inay mikriktani, they were walking into Bezdin. And we walk into Beis Din with you holding the talis, and I'm saying that it's mine. Obviously, the loch is hamoitz mechaver al v'raya. That's the oldest din. That if you're holding something and I want to make a claim that it's mine, I have to be able to prove it. Otherwise, you have a chazaka. Ella, the case was, shetokfa echad b'faneinu. One of them is holding, the one of them grabbed it in front of us, and I'm yelling, and that's exactly what the Bryce is saying. That if one of them grabbed it, seized it in front of the other person, in front of Beis Din, and if I immediately protest, the Braisa is saying, Hametz Mechaver Olav Araya, that's still considered yours. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what this Braisa means. Hachem Ayiskinen, the Braisa is referring to a situation, Ki going to Oslo Kamon, Ki Netfisaloi Tavayu. Both of you were holding the item. Both of us were holding the item in front of Beis Din. And Beis Din knows the halacha that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. V'aminu zilu plalgu. Go divide it. Yachloiku. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta. V'nafka. And we now leave Beis Din. Beis Din issued their ruling. V'hada asu. And now all of a sudden we're back in Beis Din. But we're back in Beis Din. But now when we arrive in Beis Din, ki asu lo, v'hada asu, ketofis lechad menayu. Now we walk into Beis Din and only one of us is holding the talus. Hey, Amr, why are you holding the talus? Why is only one of us holding the talus? So you say, you know why? Because when we left the Beis Din, I came clean. And I said, you know what? I recognize it's really yours. For hey, Amr, and I'm saying, no, I never agreed to that. So Beis Din asked me, if you never agreed to it, so why is he holding the talus alone? So I say, I decided to rent it to him. Daminalei, so Beis Din doesn't accept that. Why doesn't Beis Din accept my claim that I rented my half to you? Because Beis Din says, Ahashta cheshadetalei begazlan. Till now, you said that this guy is a gazlan. And you were fighting with him over the talus. And all of a sudden, after Beis Din makes the psak of yachloiku, you turn around and you rented him? You rent the talus to him, all of a sudden you're his best friend, and you trust him to have the talus without even aid him? It's not plausible. And that's why the Braisa is paskening, at least that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that's the case of the Braisa. That if we walked into Beis Din, and Beis Din passed in Yachloiku, and then we arrived back in Beis Din, with you holding the talus alone, I can't say what happened here was that I rented you my half of the talus, unless I bring Edom that indeed happened. If I bring Edom, it's different. Ask the Rishonim, Machloikus Rishonim, and what will be if I say the following? We came to Beis Din, Beis Din passed in Yachloiku, and then we left Beis Din, and then you were able to prevail and seize the entire talus. Will that be a legitimate claim or not? So, there's Machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that wouldn't be a legitimate claim. Why? Because if you weren't able to seize it before we came into Beis Din, so obviously neither of us is stronger than the other one. So what made you stronger afterwards? And therefore, those Rishonim say it wouldn't be a legitimate claim. Other Rishonim say, yeah, that's a fair claim. That if I say what happened after Beis Din passed Yachloiku, somehow you were able to prevail and take the entire talus, that would be a legitimate claim. But now we have a very big question. If indeed the halacha is that instead of saying this claim that the Gemara says, that I rented you my half, which doesn't make any sense, the Gemara says, how would I rent you something if I don't trust you, if I don't take Adam to watch? Instead of that claim, I made the claim that you grabbed it and was saying that that's a legitimate claim, so why don't I have a migui? We have throughout halacha the concept of migui, that if I could have made a better claim, I'm believed even when I made a weaker claim. So here, I should have a migui. So the Rishonim answer that a migui wouldn't work here. Why not? Because there's a rule that we don't say migui b'makom edim. And as we learned in the previous shiur, when somebody's holding on to something, we have an anan sadi, which is equal to edim, that that item belongs to him. So let's think about this. If we walk into Beis Din, with you holding the item, and I'm saying that you grabbed it away from me, and it should be, and I'm saying that I rent it to you, and it should be believed with a migui that I could have said you grabbed it, it's a migui b'makom edim, because there are edim that's really yours, because there's a non-sadi that whatever you're holding is yours, a migui b'makom edim we don't say. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is that you have a chazaka here. And since you have a chazaka, we don't say migui b'makom chazaka. Ibai seima, another way of explaining this braisa, kriktani, where the case that the braisa is referring to is the osul kamon kitofus lechad benayu. When we came to Beis Din, one was holding the entire talis. However, v'idach misrach basruchi, the other person is running behind him, screaming and yelling, he's holding my talis. And the braisa is teaching us, v'filu l'sumchus, even sumchus that takes the approach throughout Shas, the moment amutu b'safek cholkim, wherever we have a question on who is the true owner of an item, we divide it, b'loy shvua, here, my the sumchus, the circhalav klumay. That just because you're holding an item, and I'm coming in yelling that this item belongs to me, that's meaningless. That's not a situation of moment amutu b'safek, and certainly the halach is that it's your item unless I could truly prove that it's mine. So where are we up to here? What we're up to here is as follows. The Gemara asked the Shaila, what will be the halacha that if two people walk into Beis Din holding an item together, and one of the other people in front of Beis Din is able to grab the entire item, and the other person was shasak, first quiet, ulubsoif tzavach, what will be the din? We don't have an answer to that question. Continues the Gemara. Im tim tzolaymer, if we will suggest that toif echeb efeneinu, that in the case that I just described, where you were successful in front of Beis Din to seize the item, and I yelled, we don't allow the person who seized it to keep it, might see an oisa biyadoi, doesn't mean that you could keep the entire item by yourself. Certainly, hikdisha ena mikdashis. No. Takvach v'finay mesinos biyadoi, hekdisha ein mekudeshes. Then your hekdish would not be a valid hekdish. What does that mean? Sometimes, hopefully all of the time, people are allowed in donim. So, you know that you can't physically prevail over me. And you can't grab the item. So what do? You go and you say, I could do something that doesn't take any physical power. I'll be magdish the item. And I'll accomplish the exact same thing that it's no longer by me because you will magdish it. So the Gemara says, if physically seizing the item doesn't do you any good, certainly being magdish the item won't do you any good. When do we have a shaila, says the Gemara? However, and Tim Tzolaymer, if we will suggest that tokfa echbe feneinu aim at sinai semiyadai, that if you were successful in seizing the item, you will be able to keep the item. Now ask the Gemara, what would be that you couldn't physically seize it? So he came up with a better plan. Higdishai, beloy takfoy, you will magdish the item. What do we say? Kivin the Amamar, since there's aloch throughout Shas, that mirasul gvoya, k'mes rasul hejit, we know, and we've discussed this halacha many times, the halacha is that in order for a transaction or a transference of ownership of a property, of an item, to be effective, the halacha requires a kinyan. That means, simple, if I want to sell you this gemara, for it to be considered your gemara, it's not enough that you just pay me. You have to actually do some sort of a kinyan. However, that's when it's the two of us, when human beings are doing business with each other. But let's say I'm giving something to Shemaim, I'm giving something to Hegdish, I'm giving to Tzedakah, then I don't have to have a kinyan. And as we explained this concept many times in our shiurim, the reason is as follows. When I owe something, or you own something, there's a concept. You have your item, I have my item. In order for the item to transfer from me to you, from you to me, some sort of a kinyan, some sort of an act of transference has to take place. Because we each have our own space. There is no concept of space by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the world is his space. And when I give something to Hegdish, I give something to Tzedakah, it automatically becomes his. And that's why I've said here, in previous shiurim, the halacha is that as soon as somebody makes a pledge to give Tzedakah, there's a concept of Miras L'Gvayi, Miras L'Ejit, and even though you didn't do any kinyan, you're obligated to fulfill that pledge. It's considered that you owe that money. There is a shaila in the Paiskim, is it to the degree that if I made a pledge, question could come up, I made a pledge to give a certain amount to Tzedakah, and now I'm not honoring my pledge. Could Beis Din actually take money out of my, seize my assets, based on the concept of Amiras L'Gvaya, Kimisiras L'Hedya? It's an interesting shaila, it's not for today's shiur. A nice svart, the Chassidish Svarim say, Amiras L'Gvaya, Kimisiras L'Hedya, is our Amira L'Gvaya, our learning, our davening, should be Kimisiras L'Hedya, should be with Mesiras Nefesh. A person's supposed to learn Torah with Mesiras Nefesh. It's not always easy to come to the shiur. You have to be Mais Nefesh to come to the shiur. But back to Al Gemara. Al Gemara is suggesting that if the halach is indeed, that if you were successful in front of Beis Din to seize the item, even if I'm protesting, it becomes yours, now the Gemara goes to this next step. Instead of actually physically seizing the item, you will magdish the item. What will be the din? Will it still be considered the same or not? Now, Kivan Davamar, since we have a rule throughout Shas, that Miras L'Gvaya can Miras L'Hedya Dami, so by you being magdishit, is command to talk for dummy. Idilma, hashtami alai talk for. You didn't actually physically seize it. You only were magdishit. And the Torah teaches us, vish ki yagdish is basei kaidish. The Torah that teaches us, the halacha, the one has the ability to be magdishit item, teaches us, ma basei bershusai, afkal bershusai. You can only be magdish something that you're actually physically holding. Here you're not actually physically holding this item, and therefore you don't have the ability to be magdishit. Lefuki hai, the Lord Mirshusai. So we still are up to our shaila. What will be the halacha if you seized it and I yelled? And now we've taken it a step further, if you were magdish. Tashma, says the Gemara, Dahum Susa. There was a bath. Dava Minsalei Beit Trei. Two individuals were arguing over this bath. Hayam the Dahu. One of them said it belongs to me, v'hai amad adihu. And the other individual says it belongs to me. Kom chad menayu, agisha. One of the people went and were magdishit. And now the question is that a valid hegdish? So the Gemara says, parsh menei rav chananya v'rab oishi v'kula rabbanim. Firstly, the Gemara says that all of these rabbanim avoided using this bathhouse. Because there was a real question if this bathhouse was hegdish. Was the Hegdish valid or not? So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, why did they have to avoid using the bathhouse? We know that halachically, Hegdish, if you were paid it, if you redeemed it, even on a pruta, it's considered a valid redemption. So these Rabbanim obviously wanted to use this bathhouse, but they had a dilemma. Is this bathhouse Kaidish or not? So they should have just taken a pruta, it's not that much money, and then paid it, and they have no question. So I saw two answers to that question. One answer is that this halacha, that you can be magdish, that you can be poida, hegdish and a shava pruta, is not on all forms of hegdish. If somebody was magdishit with the form of kainim, then the halacha is that a pruta can't be a valid redemption. The only valid redemption is for its real value. One teretz. Another teretz is, when is there a halacha that somebody could be paid the mi'ikra din? We'll discuss this in our travels through Shas. That's not a halacha that you can easily use. But when is the din, mi'ikra din, that you could be paid the hegdish on a shava pruta? Who could do that? The person that was magdish it. That means if I owned this gemara and I was magdish the gemara, technically I could be paid the gemara on a pruta. But let's say I was magdish a gemara, and now you'll go and you'll be paid the gemara on a pruta. Certainly, it's not valid. So the rabbanim weren't the people that were magdish this bathhouse. So they're certainly not candidates who could be paid the gemara, who could be paid the bathhouse on a pruta. So the rabbanim, not knowing if the hegdish was valid or not, stayed away. Vamlei Rab Oishir Rabba. So Rab Oishir told Rabba, Ki Aslus Kameder of Chizda Kafri. When you arrive in the yeshiva of Chizda and Kafri, Rav Chizda, Mefarshim explained, was a tremendous lamdan. Boimenei, ask him, what do we do under these circumstances? Ki Aslus Surah. So when he came to Surah, before he even got to Rav Chizda, and he was discussing this question that came up, Amlei Rav Nuna. So Rav Nuna told him, Masnisenhi, this is really the subject of a Mishnah. We know that the firstborn human, if he's a Bechor, male, or by an animal, is a Bechor, even by Peter Chamor, the firstborn donkey we'll discuss, has to the Greek Kedushas Bechor. So says the Mishnah, Sofek Bechoris, if there's a question if this animal is a Bechor, if this is something is a Bechor, Echad Bechor Adam, whether it's by a human being, Echad Bechor Behema, whether it's by an animal, Bein Tahir Bein Tameim, whether it's a kosher animal, and all the dinim of Bechor apply, or whether it's a Chamor, as I just said a moment ago, that the dinim of Bechor to a degree apply to it. The halacha is Hametz Mechaver Olav Araya, which means as follows. Let's not talk about human beings. Let's talk about animals. We have this animal. There's a question of the Bechor. Let's first explain, how is there a question? We don't know if this mother of this animal had another baby before or not. So the animal is a Safek Bechor. The halacha paskins the Mishnah is Hametz Mechaver Olav Araya. If I, the Yisrael, am holding on to the animal, the Kohen can't take it away unless he could conclusively prove that it's a Bechor. On the other hand, if the Kohen has it, I can't claim it back unless I could prove that it's not a Bechor. Before we go further, the Rishonim all ask an obvious question. A Bechor is not owned to any specific Kohen. So even if the Kohen grabbed this Bechor, and the Mishnah is paskening, Hamaitzi Mechaver Olav Araya, I have to be able to prove it, otherwise the Kohen keeps the Bechor. Why can't I say, you're not the Kohen that I would have given it to anyway? How do you become a Mechutin here? How do you become a party here? The Rishonim are very troubled with this question. So one answer the Rishonim give is that we're referring to a situation of Makirei Kohen. What does Makirei Kohen mean? You're always the Kohen that I give all my Matnas Kuna to. My Truma, my Bechayrim, my Matnas Kuna, everything I give to you. So I can't say, I wouldn't have given it to you. I can't say that. Because you're the Kohen that I always give my Matnas Kuna to. That's one teretz. Another teretz is as follows. Yes, it is indeed the right of Yisrael to choose which Kohen to give his Matnas Kuna to. But what does that mean? That means, as we've learned many times in Shas, there's a concept of Toivus Hanor. That means, let's say, you, the Yisrael, have a son-in-law or a grandson who's a Kohen, and you know me, and you'd like me to give my Matnas Kuhuna to your grandson, the Kohen. So you'll pay me Toivus Hanor to choose that Kohen over any other Kohen. So yes, say the Rishonim, that if you, the Kohen, grab this item, I have a right to say, I wouldn't have given it to you. That doesn't mean that you have to give it back to me. All you have to give back to me is the Toivus Hanor, the value that I could have collected for choosing you. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. You keep the Bechor, and maybe I'll collect the Toivus Hanor. Continues the Braisa, continues the Mishnah, but Tanei Lo, now the Braisa, and commenting on this Mishnah, says, Basur Megizu Avoida, that if I keep the Bechor, because I, the Yisrael, have it, I still have to treat it with kedusha. I can't work with it. I can't shear it. Now, ask the Gemara. For Hacha, let's think about this case. The Mishnah is clearly teaching us that tok for koyin, that we're the koyin to seize this animal, emet sinai sviyodai. The Tani, because the Mishnah, as we just said, clearly taught us that I might mechaver all of a raya. That if you the kind seize it, you keep it. The chiloi takvoi, even if you don't seize it, the Brisa teaches us that a surah begizav avoida. So obviously, what does the Brisa teach us? That the hegdish is a valid hegdish. Because if the hegdish weren't a valid hegdish, why is it also begizav avoida? Answers the Gemara. Amlach Rava, you can't prove from this case to our Shaila. Because here we're referring to Kedushas Bechaira. Amlach Rava, Amlach Rava, Kedushas Bechaira, comrade. You're asking me a question for Kedushas Bechaira? Loilam Amlach, I could actually tell you that if a Kayan took it, Metzinai Semiyadai. Aye, why is it Osbegizva Vaida? Isn't this a proof that it's Hegdish? Differently, because Kedusha Bechor is not a man-made Kedusha. It's a Kedusha Abba Me'elav Shani. Amle Rav Chananya L'Rava, Tanya de Messiah, I will bring a Braisa to teach you that Kedusha's Bechora is different, and therefore we can't prove from it anything. It says as follows, Hasekas Nechnosin L'Dielis Aser, which means as follows, there is an animal which is a Sophic Petach Hamor. It's a question, was this a firstborn donkey? And we were paid this petach hamor on a seh. So what's the halach on the seh? We have to go through the process of choosing a seh to be paid, but you kohen can't take that seh, because I could claim that the hamor was not a bechor. So the halach is that that animal is included together with the rest of my flock when I take off my sebehema. Ask the Gemara, if we will suggest that in any such situation, tok for koyin, emet sin oisem yodoi, and it's considered to a degree the koyin's property, then ask the Gemara, amaych nechnasim ladir, why can I include this together with the rest of the animals that I'm taking off from Isa? Wouldn't this be a situation of nimtza zepaitim emayna b'koyin shekoyin, that I'm using the koyin's animal for my mice behema? Says the rabbi, that's not a proof. That's not a proof. Because let's think about it, says Abaya. We're referring to a situation, going to Leslie Elatisha. I have 9 animals. Now, how does mice behema work? You have 10 animals, you let the animals walk through the door, and the 10th animal becomes mice. Here, I only had 9 animals, and this is the 10th animal. The Leslie Elatisha. And now this 10th animal that was perhaps a pigeon petach hamor. The manushach. Ibacha yuvahu. If this animal is indeed my animal because it wasn't a petach hamor, shapaka maisa. So it's a great animal to be used for maisa. And ilabacha yuvahu, because it's the petach hamor, or it's the pigeon petach hamor, and there's no chiv maisa on it. Ilabacha yuvahu, tisha labasur nenu. There's no chiv maisa. So there's no question that there's no obligation. And there's no problem here. Hada Abaya. Afterwards Abaya said, Lav Milsadamri. What I said is incorrect. The Sveika La Bar Surihi. Any animal that's a Sophic cannot be included in the flock. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Bechairis. Let's say, as I said a moment ago, how did they go through the process of taking Maisa? We had 10 animals go through the door. Let's say one of the animals that already went through the door jumps back into the flock. Kofetz echman amnuyim l'toichan, the halacha is kulam peturim. All of those animals are now not subject to meiser. Says the Gemara, v'sakadaitach, if we're going to say, sveike bayisuri, that whenever there's a suffix, we still take off meiser, lasim emanavshach, so I should still have to go through the process. Dibichayuvahu, if this animal that jumped back in is not one of the animals that counted, shapim meiserhu. V'lav bachayuvahu, nifta b'manyan haroi, shouldn't he be potter from the halacha is that if I counted something, it's not mechuyev meiser. Domer rov minyan haroi potter. Elama islach l'meima, what must you say? Asuri vadim amrachmana, only if it's certainly chayiv in meiser does the Torah say I have to take off meiser. V'loy asir sofik. Not if there's any sofik. Hachinami asir vaday amrachmana. The Torah only said that I should take off meiser from what's certain. V'loy asir sofik, and not if there's any sofik. And therefore, that's why there's no chiyuv ma'aser here, and that's why the din is different. So what we're up to now is, we don't have a proof, what will be the halacha by Tokfa Koyin yet.